Today's shiur is Daf Samach Dalad. We will begin on the top line of Samach Dalad Amar Aleph. The final rule we had learned in the Braisa yesterday was the mice of sack ala beged, that sackcloth, and it's important to explain that sackcloth is made out of goat's hair, is more susceptible to tumah, shetameh mishum arig. It is susceptible to tumah even when it's made out of woven. Ask the Gemara, we don't understand what this line means. Ought to beg it. Isn't every piece of material lav oracle? Isn't it also woven? So what is the Braisa telling us is unique about sack? Answers the Gemara Hachikamar. This is what the Braisa means to say. Mois of sack ala beged. Sackcloth made out of goat's hair has a chumrah, has a stringency above regular garments, that alpi she'ena orig, even though it's not woven, even though it's a very small piece of material, it's not woven even, it's tamei, it's mekabel tumah, it's susceptible to tumah. In other words, the Gemara is saying that a beged has to be woven, a sack does not. Ask the Gemara Lamai Chazi, what could you do with a braided sackcloth? Am Rabbi Yochanan, she can only kalei a shloish neiman v'toyle b'tzav v'bitay. A poor person who can't afford to buy his daughter a real necklace will take three threads of goat's hair that are not even woven together, just braided together, and he'll use that for a necklace for his daughter. But of course, what we're learning from here is that at least that has to be braided. If it's not even braided, it won't be makabel tum, even when it's made out of goat's hair. Continues the Gemara with a braisa. Tana rabbanan. It says in a braisa, sak, when the Torah HaKadosh talks about susceptibility of tumma, the Torah says a sak, which is made out of goat's hair. Ainli ala sasak. So I only know that a sack is susceptible to tumah. Menayin Rabbis is a kilkali v'chavak. How do we know to include a kilkali and a chavak? A kilkali is a strap that was worn below the neck of a donkey or a horse to bind the harness that he's wearing. The chavak is also a strap which was attached to the harness or saddle, but this was put under the belly of the animal to fasten these things from underneath. Tama loima oisak, since the pasuk adds the word oi, to teach us that even these things are susceptible to tumah. Yochal shani marba, maybe I should also include as a chavolim. These are long strings used to ropes. Chavolim is ropes, meshichas is strings, which were used to measure, that they too, if they're made out of goat hair, should be susceptible to tumah. Tamalayim is sack. So the Torah says sack. Mas sack taviv arik. A sack is made out of spun and woven thread. Af kol taviv arik. Only items produced from goat's hair, which are spun and woven, are susceptible to tumah. If not, they're not susceptible to tumah. And that's why the kilkali and chavak are mekabel tumah, because they are made out of spun and woven thread. Now Tosfos asks a very fundamental question. We know that one of the characteristics for something to be susceptible to tumah is it has to be metaltal molen vereken. It has to be something that's used as a receptacle that's carried when it's full and empty. And a kilkali and a chavak don't have this characteristic. So why are they mekabel tumah? So there's a very fundamental yesoid concept that the Chazon Ish says. The Chazon Ish says that the halacha, that in order to be mekabel tumah, something has to be metatl moli v'reken, is only said regarding kalim, regarding utensils. The characteristic of a utensil to be mekabel tumah is that it has to be metatl v'reken. But here we want to be metama these items because of a beged. A beged does not have the requirement of metaltel molly verekan. Continues the Gemara. What we just discussed in the Braisa was regarding tumas sheretz. If something is susceptible to tumas sheretz, hareiv omer mes. Now the pasuk says regarding tumas mes, v'kol kli or v'kol maze macha izim tischato. Anything that's made out of leather or from goat has to be purified. The rabbis are kalkli v'chavak that a kilkli and chavak also are susceptible to tumas mes. Yochel shnei marbes achavolim v'smashiches. And I might have thought that ropes and measuring strings are also susceptible to tumas mes. So the Gemara says, why would I think so? V'dinhu. Is it, and it's only logical to say just the opposite. Tima b'sheretz, the Torah says that goat's hair is susceptible to tumas sheretz. V'tima b'meis, and the Torah says that goat's hair is susceptible to tumas mes. Ma kishetima b'sheretz, just like when the Torah says something is tameh by sheretz, loy tameh ela taviv arik, it only says something which is woven and spun is susceptible to tumah. Af kishatima b'meis, so too when something has tumas mes, loy tameh ela taviv arik, we only say something spun and woven. So why do I need a pasuk by tumas mes to exclude chavolim and meshichas? It's obvious I should learn it from tumas sheretz. Hey, ask the Gemara, is this what you just said makes sense? Im hekel b'tem sheretz, if we are lenient by tumas sheretz, shikala, because it's a more lenient form of tuma. Why is it a more lenient form of tuma? It's because it's a tumas sheretz, somebody who has a tumas sheretz goes to the mikveh for the day, he touches the sheretz, and by that night, he'll be fine. A tumas mes requires 7 days of tahara and the mechatas with the ifaparo, so nekel b'tumas mes. So should we be lenient b'tumas mes shechamura, which is a more stringent form of tuma? So I can't learn the halacha of chavolim and meshichas b'tumas mes from tumas sheretz. Therefore, tamaloymer. How do I know it? It says beged v'or. Beged v'or l'gzer shava. Nema beg va'or b'sheretz. The Torah uses the word beg va'or by sheretz. Nema beg va'or b'mes. And the Torah uses the word beg va'or b'mes. And says the Braisa, ma beg va'or ha'ama b'sheretz. Just like the beg va'or that says b'sheretz, lo tima ela tova va'orik, the only time it's susceptible to tum if it's woven and spun, af beg va'or ha'ama b'mes, so too the beg va'or that the Torah says by tumas mes is like tima ela tava v'arug, the only time it's susceptible to tumah is if it's spoven and woven. Continues the Gemara using this, the Braisa using this Kseri Shava. Or ma beg va'or ha'ama b'mes. Similarly, just like the Torah used the word beg va'or b'mes, timet komes izim, we say that all types of woven and spun goat hair items are susceptible to tuma, which would include a chilkali and chavak. Af beged v'or ha'ama b'sheretz, so to the beged v'or that says b'sheretz, timei komei se'izim, all types of goat items that are spun and woven, including the chilkali and chavak. Continues the Gemara, Eli ela dova haba min izim, I only know something that comes from goat's hair. Menayin l'rabbis, how will I also include dova haba miznava snus miznava para, something made out of the tail of a horse or the tail of a cow? Tamaloyma oisak. The Torah adds the word oi, sak, by tumas sheretz to teach us that even if it was made out of the horse's tail or the cow's tail, it's susceptible to tuma. Ask the Gemara for effectal kukli v'chavak. The Braisa began teaching us that we need the pasuk of oisak to teach us that chilkli and chavak are susceptible to tuma by tumas sheretz. Answers the Gemara, Hani mili, when did I need the pasuk of oisak to teach us that a chilkli and chavak are makabel tumas sheretz? Kame delais gzeres shava, before I had the gzeres shava that I learned tumas sheretz from tumas mes. However, hash to daos gzeres shava, now do I have a gzeres shava through which I learned tumas sheretz from tumas mes. So that's how I know that a chilkli and chavak are susceptible to tumah. Aisaloi, that's why the word oi is left over, to teach us that items made out of a horse's tail or a cow's tail are susceptible to tumah. Vainly ela b'sheretz. Now this only teaches us regarding tumah sheretz, b'tumas mace minayin. How do I know that this halacha also applies to something that has a tumas mess? V'dinhu. So the Gemara says that it makes sense. Tumah mace, we know that sackcloth is susceptible to tumas mess, v'tumah b'sheretz, and we know that sackcloth is susceptible to tumah sheretz. Makish tumah b'sheretz, just like when the Torah says something susceptible to tumah sheretz, also dova habo miznava sus miznava para kamas izim, the Torah treated things made out of the tail of a horse or the tail of a cow the same way as it treats something made out of goat's hair, and says all of these items are susceptible to tumah. After shetim bepem meis, so too when the Torah says something susceptible to tumas mes, also dova abom miznava sus miznava para kamas izim, the Torah treats something made out of horse tail or cow tail like out of goat. Ask the Gemara Hain, does this make sense? Im hirba betumas erev, if the Torah added articles that are made out of horse and cow tail to the things that are susceptible to tumah, because it's a tumah that is a tumah only till that night, as we explained before. The person goes to the mikveh that day, or the item is put into the mikveh that day, and by night it's fine. Shima ruba, which is a very common form of tumah. Nirba b'tumah shiva, should we also add more items that will be tumah for 7 days? Shima etes, which is a very rare form of tumah. So just because this halacha applies by tumah sheretz, who says it also applies by tumah meis? Tamil loimer, that's what a brisa says. Beg v'or l'gzereshava. We make a gzereshava that says the word nema beg v'or b'sheretz. The Torah says beg v'or b'sheretz. V'nema beg v'or b'meis. And the Torah says the word beg v'or b'meis. Ma beg v'or am b'sheretz. Just like when the Torah uses the words beg v'or b'sheretz, we say also dov ha'bo miznava snus miznava poro, that something made out of a horse tail or a cow's tail has the same din as kamasa izim out of something made out of goat's hair. Af beg v'or homer b'mes, so too by Thomas Mess, also dova bo miznava sus miznava poro k'mas izim, the Torah treats something made out of goat's hair, out of cow's hair, or horse's hair, cow's tail or horse tail, like something made out of goat's hair. So where are we up to? What we're up to is like this. Chavak and Kilkali are makabel tumah, because we learn it from what it says by Thomas Mess. And once we know it has that din by tumas mes, we apply the same din by tumas sheretz. Something made out of horse's tail or cow's tail is mekabel tumah, because I learn it because it says so by tumas sheretz. And once it says so by tumas sheretz, I learn tumas mes from tumah. I learn tumas mes from teresh emes. Chavolim and Meshichos are not Mekabel Tumah, because that's the halacha by Tumas Sheretz. And the same thing, I have the same halacha by Tumas, and I learned Tumas Mes from Tumas Sheretz, that Chavolim and Meshichos will also not be Mekabel Tumah. Before we go further, we have to speak about what's known as Gzeirah Shavah. Gzeirah Shavah is one of the Shlosh Esrei Midos. It's one of the 13 ways we learn halachas in the Torah. And it means is when the Torah uses the same word or words in two different subjects, we say that what was the Torah trying to accomplish? The Torah was trying to tell us that these two different subjects have the same din. Now there are two types of Gzeirah Shavah. There are really three. We're going to speak about two. One is called the Gzeirah Shavah Mufna, where the two words are extra, and then there's a Gzeirah Shavah She'eina Mufna, that the words on both subjects are not really extra. But I learned that I compared the two subjects just because they have the same word. What is the difference between a Gzeirah Shavah Mufna and a Gzeirah Shavah She'eina Mufna? A gzeirah shavah where the words are extra, even if we'll have a kasha on the gzeirah shavah, lemeidim, we will learn the gzeirah shavah, ve'ei meshivim, the kasha will not disrupt the gzeirah shavah. However, a gzeirah shavah she'ein mufna, a gzeirah shavah when the words are not extra, lemeidim, we can learn the gzeirah shavah, or meshivim. However, if we will have a kasha on the gzeirah shavah, we will say that the gzeirah shavah doesn't stand. Says the Gemara, umufna. This gzeirah shavah that we established between tumas mes and tumas sheretz must be a gzeirah shavah where the words are superfluous. Dilav mufna, if the words aren't extra, ikla mifrach. We could have asked the question, ma'ala sheretz, you can't learn mes from sheretz because sheretz has a chumrah shekeim etamim gakadasha, that even when it's the small size of a lentil, it's already makabel tumah. However, mes, it has to be the size of a kazayis. So we can't learn mes from tumah sheretz. Now, the Masha points out, the Gemara could have asked another question, the question that we already saw in this braisa, that tumah sheretz is a more common tumah versus tumah mes, which is a tumah shiva and a less common tumah. So Masha says that would have been a good question. However, now that we're trying to ask and disrupt the gzeirah shavah, we have to have a strong question in order to be able to do it. This is a stronger question than the fact one is more common than the other. Answers the Gemara l'ay. You're right. Efnuy mifna. The words beged v'ar by a sheretz are extra. Michti. Why? Let us understand. Sheretz ishkish l'shich v'zera. The Torah compares the tumah of sheretz to the tumah of semen. V'ksiv. The Torah says in the parasha of Tumas Shera, Ish Ashetetzim Mena Shech Vezera, a person who has Shech Vezera, V'samach Lei, Ish Asheyiga B'chol Sheretz. So here we see that the Torah compares Tumas Sheretz to Tumas Shech Vezera. V'ksibbe B'shech Vezera, and in the parasha of Shech Vezera it says, V'chobegid V'chol Or Ashiel of Shech Vezera. So it already says Begid V'or by Shech Vezera. Beged v'or the kos rachmana b'sheretz lamali. So why did the Torah also have to use the words beged v'or by sheretz? It must be shma mina lefnuye that they're extra. Now, we spoke before about two types of gzeirah shavah: a gzeirah shavah that was mufna, that the words are extra, or gzeirah shavah she'en mufna, the words are not superfluous. But there's a third type: there's a gzeirah shavah that's mufna mitzar echad, where only one of the words on one of the sides, on one of the subjects, is extra, but not on the other side. There's a machloikis. What is the rule on such a gzeirah shavah? Some mandamer hold that even if the word is only superfluous on one side, it's a gzeirah shavah that we can't ask kashas on. If that's the halacha, we're fine. As soon as we identify that the words beged v'or are extra by sheretz, we have a gzeirah shavah that we can't ask questions on. But there is a man d'amar that says it has to be mufna mishnei tzadim, that both sides the word has to be extra. So true, we identify that the words beged v'or by sheretz are extra, but if we don't have the words beged v'or by mace, by tumas mace being extra, we still will have a problem with this gzeirah shavah. That's what the Gemara says. V'kafni, v'kati mufna mitzad echad hu. It's only extra on one side. So ha'nich l'man d'oma mufna mitzad echad. It's okay according to the sheet that holds that if it's extra only on one side, l'meidim v'ayim mishim, we can't ask any questions on this gzeirah shavah, so we're in good shape. El l'man d'oma l'meidim mishivim, that it has to, if it's only extra on one side, we could still ask a kasha and disrupt the gzeirah shavah, my ikala meimor. So how could we learn this gzeirah shavah? We have a kasha on it. Now the achronim say a very fundamental klal. The Gemara says many times in Shas, ein adam don gzeirah shavah mi'atzmai. A person cannot establish a gzeirah shavah by himself. He has to have it as a messiah. He has to have it as something that he learned from his rabbis, who learned it from Moshe Rabbeinu already. So if a gzeirah shavah is something that we already have as a tradition, so how can we ask questions on it? So the Achronim, the Rosh Yosef, explain what we learn in a tradition of gzeirah shavah is that in the Torah there are these two words, and these two words form a link. But the Torah doesn't the tradition does not necessarily teach us how to establish that link, and where to establish that link, and regarding what then to establish that link. So if we have a question, it seems to indicate that that's not what the Gzeirah Shavah, that's not what the Masorah teaches us. And that's why we have a question. We need to have the words extra on both sides. Says the Gemara, the Mes Nam Yefnu Yemifna, the words Beged V'or are also extra. Michti, because let's understand, Mes is Kishle Shech V'zera. A Tumas Mes is also compared to Shech V'zera. How do I know? The Ksiv, because it says in the Pasuk, V'negei B'chol Tmei Nefesh, Oyesh Yishetei Tzimene Shech V'zera. So this pasuk is talking about a tumah shech v'zera, v'ksiv shech v'zera, and it says regarding shech v'zera, v'chol beged v'kliyar. So the question is, beged v'or the kos rechmana b'mes lomeli. Why did the Torah have to use the word beged v'or by mes? I should rely on the words that it said by shech v'zera. Shema mina lefnuye that the words beged v'or by mes are also extra. Now Tosfos points out, it comes out that the source for everything is Shech V'zera. Since it says Beged V'or by Shech V'zera, and from that we extrapolate both to Tumas Mes and to Tumas Sheretz. So what's the whole point of the Gemara? We should just mention Shech V'zera. So the Ramban says that we find that many times, even though the Torah says a Hekesh, we have a comparison, we still go out of the way sometimes, the Torah goes out of the way to also write a Gzeirah Shavah, even in a situation where we can rely on a Hekesh. In our Perek, we've mentioned many times the issue of the Kli Midyan, the utensils of Midyan. Let's just review the history. Bilam, as we know, attempted to curse Klal Yisrael. He was Baruch Hashem not successful. However, he gave the Minyanim a piece of advice. He told them that God, our God, Hashem, despises znus, despises immorality, and that the daughters, the women of Midyan, should seduce the Jewish men. And that's exactly what happened. Because they followed Bilam's advice, and they destroyed the sanctity of Jewish people, 24,000 Jews died. At that point, Hashem told Klal Yisrael to wage war against the Midyanim. When the Jewish soldiers returned from that war, it says in Pasuk, V'nakriv es korban Hashem, we brought an offering to Hashem, ish shamotza klizov, everybody that found gold utensils, a tzadah, is an anklet, v'tzomid is a bracelet, tabas is a ring, Ogel v'chumis. Omer v'loza ogel z'tfushel datim. It's a ornament worn over women's breast. Kumez z'tfushel v'esarechem. It's an ornamental worn over the womb. Omer v'yosef ihochi. Hainim targumin mochach. Now I understand what a targum unklus says as the definition of ogel, mochach. Mochach means to smile. Dova mevil degichach, something that brings to lewdness because it's the private parts. Omele rova. Rav says, Megufa de Krosh Mamina. We don't have to rely on the Targum. Let's see what the Pasuk says. Kumaz. What does Kumaz mean? Kumaz is an acronym, Kan Mokum Zima. This is the private part. So the Torah continues, talking what happened there. The Yiksoif Moshe Bekudei Chayel. Moshe Rabbeinu got angry at the soldiers. Om Rav Nachman, Om Rav Avua. Om Lam Moshe Yisrael. Moshe thought that why were they bringing this carbon? Because while they were at war, they had relations with the Midian women, and as tshuva they were bringing these karbonos. And he said to them, Shem chazartam kukalchem arishon, how you perhaps gone back to your previous miscontact where you live with the women from Midian. Amalai, so the soldiers told him, loim nifgam imenu ish. No man was missing, nobody from Klal Yisrael did such an avera. Amalan, so Moshe Rabbeinu told them, Im kein kapar lama, if nobody did anything wrong, why you bring your carbon? Amalei, im midei aver yitzanu, if we didn't actually commit any sins, midei hiru lo yitzanu, we did not escape improper thoughts. Miyad, immediately, v'nakrev as carbon Hashem, we brought a carbon to Hashem. Tana ber Yishmol, so Yishmol explained, v'neim ma hutrucho Yisrael shiboy sadar kapara, why did the Jews of that time require kapara? V'nei shizono v'neim nav erva, because they looked where they weren't supposed to look, they looked at the women of Midian. Omer Avsheshes, so Avsheshes says, v'neim ma mona kosef, the Torah, when the Torah lists the jewelry, as we explained before, mentions jewelry that's worn on the outside, rings, bracelets, in jewelry that's worn on the private parts, even somebody who looks at a woman, at the finger of a woman, in an outside place where the ring is worn, is it's like he looked in the most private part. The Mefarshim point out that we know that the rule is that machshava ra ein HaKadosh Baruch Hu mitzarif l'maisa, that if somebody just had bad thoughts, HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't consider it as if he did anything wrong. So here all they did was just have bad thoughts. Why did they need to do tshuva? So Farshim explained that the halacha of machshava ra ein HaKadosh Baruch Hu mitzarif l'maisa is only said where the Torah does not specifically warn us not to have bad thoughts. For example, if somebody had a machshava that is going to be mechal Shabbos, and then Baruch Hashem he's not mechal Shabbos, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu mitzarif l'maisa, it's not considered as if he did anything wrong. However, regarding znus, which we say every day, three times a day, that we are prohibited from having any immoral thoughts, there the actual thought is considered an aveira, for which, if somebody chas v'shalom did it, he has to bring a kapara, he has to do tshuva. Continues our Mishnah. Yoytzi Isha, a woman may go out on Shabbos, b'chutei sar, with hair braided with strands of her own hair, bei mishalah, whether it's her own hair, bei mishachaverta, whether it's the hair of a friend, bei mishal behema, whether it's the hair of an animal. Ubatei tefes, she could go out with a frontlet, Uber sabitin, when or with bangles, bisman shen tefurim, when they're sewn to a hand. Why is she allowed to go out with all these items? Because if she will take them off, it'll come out that she is uncovering her hair. And as we've explained many times, we Jewish women, married women, are not allowed to go out with uncovered hair, and therefore we don't have to worry that they're going to take off these items and uncover the hair. Therefore, the Ramah says that regarding a single girl who is allowed to wear her own hair, she would not be allowed to wear these items because we are concerned that she would take them off because she's not worried about uncovering her hair. Continues the Mishnah, Bekovel, a woman could go out with a woolen cap, or with pei nachris, or with a wig, lechotzer, into the courtyard. Now Rashi explains that earlier in the parak, on Daf Nun Zayin Amud Beis, we had a question what kovel meant in the previous mission, the first mission of the parak. Does kovel mean the woolen cap as we just defined it, or does kovel mean a slave's emblem? Rashi says in the first mission it was a relevant question. However, in our Mishnah, it certainly means a woman's cap. Because what is our Mishnah telling us? Our Mishnah is telling us that to a chotzer, to a private courtyard, a woman's allowed to go out with these items, because as we'll learn in the Gemara, Kadesh Leitz Gan Al Bala, we didn't want it to be unflattering to a husband. But that only applies to a woman's cap. That wouldn't be a good reason for a slave's emblem. Tosfos at the beginning of the parak disagrees, and he says that here too, kovel may mean a slave's emblem. The Ramban asks, why do we have to learn this Mishnah? We could have learned it from the Reisha, because in the Reisha it said that you're not allowed to go out with a kovel to the Rishus HaRabim. So the obvious thing is that only to Rishus HaRabim she can't go out wearing a kovel, but to a chotzer she may. So why did our Mishnah here have to say it explicitly? So the Ramban answers, the point of our Mishnah is to teach us that specifically a kovel may be worn in the chotzer and not in the Shusarabim. All other items that are mentioned in the first Mishnah may not even be worn in a chotzer. He also says another teretz, another answer, that many times our Tanna mentions first all of the surim, everything that's prohibited, as we did in the first Mishnah, and now the Tanna mentions all the things that are mutter, even though we could have extrapolated the halachas of this Mishnah, or some of the halachas from this Mishnah, from the previous Mishnah. We mention all the heterim, and here we mention heterim about the hair, so we list all the heterim, even the ones we could have understood by ourselves. Continues the Mishnah, b'moich sheba ozna. A woman can walk out with a wad on her ear. Let's say she has excessive wax or fluid, she could walk out wearing that on Shabbos. Ramosha learns from this a very important halacha. We learned at the beginning of the parak that there are two reasons a woman can not walk out wearing something on Shabbos. One is dimel shafla machya, she may take it off and show it to a friend. Another reason is because she may have to go to the mikveh and it'll be a chatzitza. Says Ramosha, if wearing this wad in her hair would be a chatzitza, so even if there's no concern that she's going to take this off and show to a friend, why are we concerned that she has to go to the mikveh and it'll be a chatzitza? From here, Ramosha says that a wad in somebody's ear is not a chatzitza, and if a woman has to go to the mikveh and she needs to wear something in her ear, he says, especially if she doesn't put it on too tight, it will be permitted to go to the mikveh that way. Uvemoich shebesandla, she could walk out with a wad and a sandal. Uvemoich sheskinol nidosa, with something that she prepared while she's a nida to keep herself clean from the blood. Now, there's a very big machlokes Rashi and Tosfos here. Rashi says that she wears this not only to keep herself clean, but even to keep her clothing clean. Tosfos asks that we learned in the first parak that a person's only allowed to wear something that will keep himself clean, but not to keep his clothing clean. So how could she wear this if her purpose is to keep her clothing clean? So Tosfos says the purpose is not to keep her clothing clean, the purpose is to keep herself clean. The Megine Shloima says that here it's different than everywhere else, because here, if she will not wear this item to keep her clothing clean, when she gets undressed and her husband sees that her clothing is dirty, he will be disgusted, and that's why it's not considered that she's doing it to keep her clothing clean, it's considered she's doing it to keep herself clean. Other Achronim explain that a Zav, which is the example from the first parak, does not constantly expel liquid from his body. That's why he has no right to wear something just to keep his clothing clean. However, a Nida that constantly is having blood flow from her body, so what she wears, this moich, is there to keep herself clean. It becomes part of her regular, one of her garments, and that's why she could go out wearing it on Shabbos. The halach lemaisa will be like this. A woman, while she's in the middle of her menstrual cycle, will be allowed to wear something to keep herself clean, even if the main purpose is to keep her clothing clean, as we just learned. But if a woman is wearing a moich only, let's say, for hefsek tara, to see that she could start her zayin nekiyim, but she's no longer middle of the flow, Ramosha Sternbach and the Tshuvas on Haggis, and that's the way most pious and paskin say, she will not be allowed to go out then, because that doesn't become one of her malbushim, that doesn't become one of her regular garments, and she has no right to walk in the Rosh Hashanah wearing it under those circumstances. The pilpul, she could walk out with a peppercorn in her mouth, which they used to put to combat bad breath, or the Gilgal Melech, or lump of salt, which also was put in to heal a diseased tooth. The kol davish nitin l'tech pivah, anything that's put into her mouth for these type of purposes. However, says the Mishnah, ovad shloititein l'chatchila b'shabbos. provided she does not put it initially there on Shabbos. So Rashi, so Tosfos brings two pshatim why she can't put it initially there on Shabbos. The first pshat is Rav Pirush's pshat. He says that putting such an item into the mouth on Shabbos is considered a refuah. And a refuah, medicine, we know, is also b'Shabbos. That's why only if it was there before Shabbos is it permitted, not if she puts it in on Shabbos. Tosfos learns that this has nothing to do with medicine, and he explains like this. If somebody's putting it in initially on Shabbos, it looks like, what was her kavana, what was her desire here? This is the way she's trying to transfer something on Shabbos, by putting it into her mouth, or by carrying it in one of these ways. That's why she can't do it on Shabbos. If it was there before Shabbos, it doesn't look like that was her purpose, and that's why it's mutter. What's the nafkamina between the two pshatim of Tosfos? Is this line of vachlei titan l'chatchila b'Shabbos limited to the things that she puts into her mouth? Or does it include everything that we learned? According to Rav Pirush, it'll only be on the things she puts into the mouth. According to Tosfos, second pshat will be everything. Continues the Mishnah of Nofal, but it fell out from her mouth, lo tachsir, she cannot put it back. Again, because somebody who sees it putting it to mouth will assume that what she's trying to do, she's doing this in order to transport it. And according to Rav Pirush, again, it looks like she's trying to do a refuah on Shabbos. It's very interesting. The Eglei Tal discusses the Shaila. If according to Rav Pirush, putting this into the mouth on Shabbos is considered a refuah, could somebody use mouthwash or mouth spray against bad breath on Shabbos? If Rav Pirush is saying it's a refuah, and we know on Shabbos we're not allowed to do a refuah. So the Eglei Tal says that mouthwash and mouth spray are not the same as pilpulin. Pilpulin cured the disease of bad breath, according to Rav Pirush. And therefore it's a refuah, which is prohibited on Shabbos. However, mouthwash and mouth spray only cover up the unpleasant odor, and that's why they're not considered a refuah. Shein teiteves, shein shazov, a false tooth made out of gold. Rebbe matter. Rebbe says a woman may go out wearing it on Shabbos. Becham oisrim, the chamim say she can't, because since a gold tooth stands out, when it's noticed, people may ridicule her, and then she'll remove it and she'll carry it. That's one pshat in Rashi. Another pshat in Rashi is that the Mishnah is saying two dinim. Shein taiteves, a false tooth, everybody agrees, a natural-looking false tooth, everybody agrees, a woman may go out wearing on Shabbos. Shein shalzov, on a gold tooth, that's where we have a machloikis, Rebbe and the Chachamim. Now, what is the problem with this pshat? Why does the Mishnah say Shein Shalzov over here? It should have said Shein Teteves before, when we were mentioning the things that are mutter. And according to the first pshat, why does the Mishnah say Shein Teteves, Shein Shalzov twice? It should have said Shein Shalzov only. So that's why the Ramban explains that Shein Teteves means a false tooth made out of wood, which also is not natural looking. And then Shein Shazov means a gold false tooth, and that's where we have the Machlaikis. Here too, the Paiskim learned something halach lemaisa. If a false tooth is considered a chatzitza when somebody is going to the mikveh, why may a woman walk out wearing a false tooth? Why aren't we concerned that she's going to take it out when she has to go to the mikveh and then carry it? So from here we see that a false tooth is not a chatzitza when somebody has to go to the mikveh. V'tzricha. And the Mishnah listed at the beginning three situations where a woman is going out with hair. Her own hair, her friend's hair, and animal's hair. Says the Mar, v'tzricha, we had to mention all three cases. Di'ishmin and the dog, if we said that she's allowed to go out when she's wearing her own hair, mishum d'leimos, it's not repugnant. Ava chaverta, somebody wearing somebody else's hair, the moss, that's repugnant. Emaloi, I would say maybe she's not allowed to go out. Ashmina de chaverta, that's why it teaches us that she could go out wearing her friend's hair. Viashmina de chaverta, the basminahu, it's all human hair. Ava de behema, animal hair. La baminahu, It's a different type of hair altogether. Emeloi, I would say she should not be allowed to go out wearing it. Tzricha, that's why the Mishnah had mentioned all three cases. Tana, continues the Braisa, Ovach leitetzi yalda b'shel zakena, a young woman can't go out wearing hair of an older woman, for zakena b'shel yalda, an older woman can't go out wearing the hair of a younger woman. So the Gemara explains this Braisa. Bislaim zakena b'shel yalda, I could understand why the Braisa had to teach us that an older woman can't wear the hair of a younger woman, shvachula, because it makes an enhancement, and therefore I would think that she could go out wearing it on Shabbos. Therefore, the Braisa teaches us that she can't go out wearing the hair, because although she may consider it an enhancement, others may ridicule an old woman wearing the hair of a young person, and she'll take it off. Ava yalda b'shezakeino, a young girl wearing the hair of an older person, amai, why did the Braisa have to teach us that it's usur? Of course it's usur. G'nayuloi, it's disgraceful. So certainly there's a concern that she'll remove it. Answers the Gemara, aida tana zakeino b'shel yalda. Since we had to teach us the rule of a zakeino by a yalda, that's why tana nami yalda b'shezakeino, so the Braisa taught us the other rule also, even though it's obvious. We learned in the Mishnah, A girl could go out with a wool cap or with a wig to the chatzar. Rav teaches us, everything that Chazal said that a woman can't go out into the Rishus Rabbim, she's similarly prohibited to go out into the courtyard wearing such items. Chutz mikovel upei nachris, except for a wool cap or a wig, those are the only two things that are permitted in a chatzar. Now there's a very big machlokes Rashi and the Rambam. What do we mean? What does Rav mean with a chatzar? Rav says that even means a chatzar mu'arevis, a chatzar that has an eriv, or a house. Whatever Chazal said you're not allowed to wear on Shabbos, even the house you're not allowed to wear, or in the chatzar mu'arevis. The Rambam says what Rav meant here is a chotzer she'enim erevis, a chotzer that doesn't have an erev. But in the house, for certain, it will be mutter. There's another machlokes rishonim. What are we referring to here? Some rishonim say that we're referring to anything that she may not wear, whether she may not wear it midoraisa, or whether she may not wear it midrabonim. Others say we're only referring to things that are also midrabonim. Since it's not that serious, we're concerned that the person is going to wear it. If she's going to wear it in the chatzar, she's going to wear it in Rishus Rabbin. But something that which is awesome at the Raisa, everybody knows that you're not allowed to carry it, and we don't have to make these gzeiros. Rav Ani basosim mishmei Rav Shmuel bar Yosef Omer hakel kekovel. All items are like a woolen cap. They're prohibited in the Rishus Rabbin, but a mutter in the chatzar. Ask the Gemara from our Mishnah. Tanan bekovel pei nachris lechatzer. So a bekovel and pei nachris a mutter in the chatzer. So it's mashma only in the chatzer, not anywhere else. Abishlam l'rav nicha. According to Rav, it's fine. Eller of ani basoso in kasha, because it says here only in the chatzer, not anywhere else. Only the kovel and the pei nachris. Answers the Gemara, Rav Ani Basos, Mishmei Deman Kamalei. Who's Rav Ani Basos quoting? Mishmei Rav Shmuel Rav Yossi. He's quoting Rav Shmuel Rav Yossi. Rav Shmuel Rav Yossi, Tana Hu Polig, Rav Shmuel Rav Yossi is a Tana, and he could disagree with our Mishnah. Says Taisus, this is the reason why we, as we explained from when we began learning this perek, allow our women to wear jewelry. He says, since we pass from like Rav Ani, that you're allowed to wear it in a chotzer and in the house. We don't have a real Rosh Hashanah because we don't have streets that are 16 amos wide with 600,000 people. That's why our women can wear jewelry, because they're not really wearing it in a Rosh Hashanah anyway. Taisus also explains, as we've said many times, as we've been learning this parak, that the Gzera of Chazal was only said in a situation where we're concerned that women will show off the jewelry. If there's a time and place that that's not the way women act, we don't have to be concerned. And then Taisus says one more thing. Mutav shei shogig v'yehei mezidin. If we are going to say something that people aren't going to listen to anyway, so such as telling people not to wear jewelry when they will wear it anyway, it's better not to tell them altogether. Also, obviously, this is all on the understanding that we have mikvahs and houses, and people know beforehand when they're going to the mikvah, so we don't have the concern that they're going to have to all of a sudden go to the mikvah and have, and there'll be issues of chatzitza on many of the items we learned in this parak. For Rav Maishnohani, according to Rav, that only these things are mutter, not anything else. Why? Amu'ula kadesh leitizgana abala. We allowed her these things that she shouldn't become disgusting to her husband. Kritanya. But the Torah speaks about a nida, and the Torah says a woman who's menstruating. Zakenim Rishonim Amru, the earlier sages would say, Shleitichol, a woman who's a nida should not put on makeup, Vleitifkos, she should put on eye makeup, face makeup, Vleitiskash, Bigditzvani, she shouldn't put on nice clothing. Achbar of Kiva Liman, and Torah of Kiva taught us, Imken Atamagana al Bala, she'll be disgusting to her husband, Vinimsa Bal Magash, and her husband will divorce her. So what does the pasuk that David Midasa teach us? Benidasa tahei, a woman is considered a nida even if she stopped seeing blood, even if she stopped seeing blood for a while. Atchitav b'mayim shilti goes to the mikvah. Now there are two questions. The Sfasemis asks, according to Bekiva, why are we worried about that she'll be disgusting if she doesn't put on makeup and her husband will divorce her? So what's going to happen? Her husband's going to divorce her and he'll marry the next wife. The next wife will have the same issue. Then when she's a nida, she can't put on makeup and her husband will divorce her. So what's the point of divorcing the first one? It won't be better by the second one. So the Sfasema says, obviously we're talking about a couple where the shalom bias is weak. Coupled with the fact that she doesn't look attractive, we're concerned that he will divorce her. A couple where the shalom bias is fine, we don't have to worry. Now the question is, why do Chachamim argue on Rabbi Kiva, and they're not concerned about Kadesh Leitizgan al Bala? So, there are two answers. One answer is, the Rishonim were talking about earlier times where husbands did not just look at physical beauty. Another answer is like this. There's a machloikis beis Shammai beis Hillel under what circumstances a husband could divorce a wife. Beis Shammai says only for Dvar Erva, if she did adultery. Beis Hillel says for any reason, if they're not compatible. So Reb Ki, the Tcham hold like Beis Shammai. So just because she's not attractive, they're not going to get divorced. However, Beis Hillel holds the concern is that any reason, and that's why if she's not attractive, they may get divorced. Amar Yehuda Marav, Kol Akum Sh'Asa Chom Ebnei Maris Ayin, whenever Chazal said something is Osir because it looks like somebody's doing something wrong, Afil V'Chad V'Chadorim Osir. It's even Osir in the most private place. Tanan asked the Gemara, we learned in the Mishnah, Loi Bezog, an animal is not allowed to be taken out to Shusurabim wearing a bell, Af Bishapokot, even if it's plugged up, because it looks like it's being taken to the market to be sold. Vitanya, Idach, and we learned in another Braisa, Poikig Loi Gzubit Savara, you're allowed to put a plug in the bell around its neck, or Metailim Abachotzer, if it's in your private chotzer, you could go there. So we see that Maris Ayin, the Isser is Alts Maris Ayin, and in the Rishus Rabbim it's also in the Chatzur it's Mutter, and it says Gemara Tanoihi. This is a Shaila of a Machloikis Tanoim if Maris Ayin is also only in Rishus Rabbim, or even in Chayri Chedorim. The Tanya, we learned in a Braisa, if somebody's clothing got very wet with rainwater, so it says Shoytchen Bechama, he could spread him out in the sun, Avaloi Knegram, not in front of people who will see it and think that he washed his clothing in Shabbos. Rabbi Lezer, Rabbi Shimon, Oysurim, Rabbi Lezer, Rabbi Shimon say you shouldn't put it out even in a place where people won't see it. Why? Tanakhama says we're worried about Maris Ayin, but where are we worried about Maris Ayin only where people could see? Rabbi Lezer, Rabbi Shimon say we're worried about Maris Ayin, and we're worried about Maris Ayin in all situations, even where there are no people, and that is the halacha. When we say Maris Ayin is Osir, it's us even b'chadrei chadorim.